Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is July 16th, 2024. And on today's show, we're going to take our usual tour, is what I like to call it, around the cosmos, looking to see what's going on this week. Because, I mean, after all, this show is everyday astrology. You know, what's going on? Where's the moon? What do we need to pay attention to? Or what are some of the things that we can think about? But, of course, we are going to focus on two of the bigger events that are going on, and they're not happening until the end of the week. Mars is entering Gemini on Saturday, and there's a full moon in Capricorn on Sunday. But of course, you know, if you've been reading any kind of news or you're just living your life, we've had some other exciting things going on, including yesterday, we had Mars still sitting in Taurus, sitting with Uranus, joining Uranus. That's a very important energy. Uranus is that planet of revolution, revolt, breaking through things. And so a lot of us, either on a personal level, on a worldly level, we've noticed that kind of activity, that kind of volatility. Now, of course, I always like to say, we don't blame the planets. I think that they are simply screens, or they're just showing us a category, or they're showing us how, you know, a lens that we can look through. Because Mars conjunct Uranus is a very volatile energy. But it's the energy to break through. And sometimes this may seem like an odd kind of thing, but I associate this energy with, years ago, I was with somebody and she had asked me to be with her like the last week of her pregnancy. And I mean, she was married, but you know, she said, hey, can you be here? And so I literally went to where she was, flew across the country and said, yep, I'll be here. I'll be holding your hand and supporting you through this process. But I'll tell you what, that baby just waited and waited and waited. And it was like that baby just was not coming. And they were getting really close to saying, okay, we're going to have to induce labor if nothing happens. And then one day it was, I'm not telling you it was Mars and Uranus. In fact, I pulled a tarot card and I went, oh my God, today's the day. Breakthrough. This is the day that is finally going to happen. We've got the push that we need. We've got the energy that we need. So when you think of, you know, any kind of planetary alliance, remember there's a shadow. And then there's some really good stuff. How that energy ends up getting used is in your hands. I mean, think of a shovel. You can use a shovel to dig a hole and plant, you know, plant something in your yard. You can use a shovel to maybe take out a weed or to remove a rock or to rearrange something in your yard. Or you can hit somebody with a shovel. You know, it's not the shovel itself. It's the way we have it in our hands and the way we use it. So many times, there again, we don't feel like we're necessarily in control. But Mars conjunct Uranus can be a very interesting but very volatile energy. And we may really experience this for the next week or so. So keep it in mind. If you're looking for a breakthrough in your life, there's your energy. If you are accident prone, though, I'd say, you know what? Just watch your P's and Q's. Just be a little more attentive to what's going on around you. You know, don't make those silly mistakes, you know, that kind of thing. Just pay a little more attention. You know, it's not anything to be afraid of. And like I said, it was actually, it peaked yesterday. So that's why we saw the buildup, you know, last week and through the weekend. And now that kind of energy is dissipating. But it's a phenomenal energy. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more towards the end of the show. Because I have some things, or maybe in the middle somewhere, I have some things I want to share with you that have to do with Mars about that. But that was going on yesterday. And we have other things too. So I hope that you will read Mark's Power Peak. That is the online newsletter that you can subscribe to free. Comes to your email box every Saturday night. And there will be an article. I write an article where I describe what's going on every single day, what the planetary energies are. So you'll want to check out Thursday. You know, in particular, when we have the sun, it's going to be making a really nice, positive alliance to Uranus, which means, once again, positive breakthroughs. You know, you want to, like, create that opening in your life. Are you feeling stuck? Is there something you just really want to push through? Well, that Uranus can be a really brilliant, creative, innovative energy. And in this case, it's going to be connected to the sun, which is our identity. So that's a really positive energy for the most part. But there again, everything in perspective. You know, you can't just look at something and say, oh, this is going to be really great for me, you know, or it's going to be really negative for me. That's not the way it works. But just watch the energy and watch it unfold. So let's jump into that, the Mars moving into Gemini. But I also want to remind you, this is kind of the background. This is the last week for the sun to be in Cancer. And it's kind of funny because, of course, I'm looking at my astrology calendar and it's laid out, you know, almost like it's laid out like a desk calendar, really. And so I see 1 week at a time all laid out, you know, in a spiral binding. And I'm looking all over going, hey, where's the sun moving into Leo? Because that's what should be happening around this time. And I'm like, well, okay, did I miss it? What, you know, what's going on? Do I need to get out my magnifying glass? So, of course, I turn the page. And there it is on Monday, the 22nd. So it's into next week, but it's just 44 minutes after midnight next Sunday night. And I just smiled to myself because to me, even though I know it's probably a mistake to overly personify the planets or to personify the cosmos, you know, it almost just seemed to me that, like, here's the sun, the big guy, you know, the important planet in the universe, so to speak, the source of our light and power. And he's moving into Leo, which is that performing energy. I want to be on stage. Everybody look at me. And he didn't want to share the spotlight. That's the immediate thing I thought is he doesn't want to come in on Sunday when other things are going on, specifically that full moon. He says, no, I want the stage all to myself. So he waits until 44 minutes after midnight until he bursts on the scene, moving into Leo. Now, I know that, you know, is going to be the day before we get together again on Tuesday the 23rd, but I'm still thinking I'm going with that flow that let's talk about the Mars and the full moon, and we'll talk about the sun moving into Leo next week on Tuesday. But there again, these planets, astrology in general, just makes me smile. I mean, it truly does, because the minute I saw that, I said, okay, sun moving in Leo, you want the stage to yourself. It was kind of cute. So, but do think about that, because if you too are anticipating that change, you know, maybe you're saying, hey, I'm ready to kind of shake off some of this cloying energy of the sun in Cancer, or maybe you're the person going, no, I love it. I love this home and family stuff, and I love just feeling like I'm nesting. I love getting into the Cancer energy. I don't want it to go away. Now, of course, it's not going away, but the sun will be moving, as it always does, into the next sign, which is Leo. So that's what's going to happen. And you know, there again, we accept change. The cosmos is all about change. So this week's mantra is really based mostly, I think, I was getting this or picking this energy up from the Capricorn moon. But I also think it comes from Mars and Gemini, Mars in general. And that is self-knowledge, self-approval, and success. So if you want to think about it, self-worth. That's what this is about. Capricorn's mythology is about building self-confidence, having faith and trust in ourselves, and in the process, knowing what we're good at and going out and doing it. You know, it's like taking joy, taking, you know, enjoyment from knowing what we're good at. And I had a personal experience with this just a few weeks ago where it just became so evident because, you know, I don't know what was going on, but I was doing a number of things. I mean, life can be really challenging, right? So there's a lot of things on my to-do list that are not there because they're the fun things to do in life. They're there because I feel like those are my responsibilities, or they're there because I think that's what I need to do. But then I had the opportunity to do something. And I mean, quite honestly, I mean, it was doing a reading for somebody. We were doing some astrology and some tarot. And when I finished, I felt so jazzed. I mean, and not that I don't do it every day. I do it every day. But in this particular instant, I so understood the difference between that job, that task, that effort, and some of the other things I was doing. And I thought, you know, I just felt all, you know, psyched up. I felt all jazzed up after doing that. And I thought, you know what? What that speaks to is the Capricorn moon, the full moon, because it speaks to saying, you know what, these are my talents, these are my knowledges or my skills and my abilities, and I so enjoy using them. And it doesn't mean that I can't do other things, but there's a reason we get that excitement, we get that joy out of certain things in our lives. And sometimes I think we take it for granted, like even if it's a small thing. Let's say you are an excellent administrator. You know, you are great at organizing something, or you're great at communicating with people on the phone, or you're a great party planner, or whatever it is. You know, and I'm not trying to make anything better or worse than anything else. I'm just saying sometimes if somebody walked up to you, if I said to you right now, what is your one skill? What are you really, really good at? You came to this planet to do something. What is it? You know, would you be able to answer that question? And, you know, sometimes just knowing that about ourselves and saying, yeah, this is what I'm good at. Put me in any room, put me in any situation, put me in any group of people, and this is where I'm going to shine. And that's, I think, what I was reminded of, is as much as possible, be appreciative, be grateful for the skills that you have, no matter what they are. You know, it could be wood carving. It could be that you've got excellent, you know, hand-eye coordination. Whatever it is that you just go, yeah, I get jazzed up. I'm good at this. And I'm going to apply this particular information, knowledge, skill, ability. I'm going to apply it as many ways as I can in my life. But more than that, I'm going to be grateful and appreciate that particular skill in myself. I'm not going to look around and say, oh, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I get that degree? Why didn't I study that? Why do I not have that expertise? Now, of course, with Mars and Gemini, we may want to pick up some of those skills. But let's quit wasting our time on shoulda, coulda, woulda, and really think about what are the things that we love. You know, are you great at peeling an orange? Are you a great cook? Is there something that you just do that is either better than the way other people do it or just for you? It's like you love it. You've mastered it. You've excelled in it and you love doing it. Just be appreciative of that. That's what I'm kind of, what I'm pointing out here. And I do think that has to do with the Capricorn. So this week's mantra is that self-worth. Appreciate yourself. Love what you see in yourself. And take the opportunity to say, hey, I can do that. I'm good at that. I know how to use a Phillips screwdriver or whatever it is that you can do. And don't diminish that. So as we talk about Mars moving into Gemini, it happens on Saturday, July 20th, and it's entering the sign of the twins. And there's multiple things to remember because it's the twins, but Gemini is famously associated with all forms of networking and communication. Mercury ruled. Mercury is the messenger planet. I'm gathering information and I'm sharing it someplace else. I am the messenger. So all those things really come into play with Mars in Gemini. So let's look at Mars a little bit. And by the way, he'll be in Gemini until September 4th. We want to relate. You know, we want to make that happen. We want to make those connections. Mars is the planet of inspiration, energy, drive, motivation, and maybe more than anything else, action. When you look at Mars in your chart, look for this is where you want to act. This is what motivates you and how it works. Is it a water sign? Is it emotional? Is it fire? You do things very quickly. You take that risk. You take that leap. It's now or never. That's the way you do things. Mars, and you notice I keep calling it he, and I think it's because Mars is very closely aligned with masculine or yang energy. And if you think about it, the glyph for Mars is that circle with an arrow pointing upwards, projecting outside of it. That's the same glyph, you would recognize it, that we use for male. You know, it's a universal symbol for male. And Mars is how we project outward, how we differentiate ourselves from others and from a group. It is about projecting. And you know, oftentimes I use the word psychological projection. I'm not talking about that here. So no judgments here. We're just talking about how we push that personality out there. It's about desire. And when you think about it, I think Venus and Mars are quite the combination together. But Venus is about how do we attract something to us? How do we magnetize something to us? Mars is how we go out and get it. What's our MO? How do we get what we want? How do we deal with assertion and aggression? How do we deal with competition? Do we love it? Do we shy away from it? Do we kind of psych out a competitor mentally? That might be what Gemini would do. Do we do it physically if Mars is in an Earth sign? How do we take to adventure? How do we handle conflict? And think about it. For a lot of people, like Aries, Mars rules Aries. For a lot of people, conflict is exciting. It's stimulating. And I'm not saying that people just go out and stir up trouble, but in a sense, sometimes they do. Sometimes I think with Aries, they'd rather have a good fight than to have a nice, quiet conversation. They want that excitement. That it kind of feeds them. The fire needs to blaze. And so conflict, just like anything else, even though we usually see it as negative, maybe it's not always negative. Maybe it's a good opportunity to get some things out. And don't hear me say, okay, go for conflict. But I'm just saying our attitudes generally about conflict have to do with our Mars. Has to do with how we challenge ourselves, how we challenge other people, how we deal with when challenge comes to us. See, once again, Mars, and here again, I'm going to sometimes say Aries because Mars rules Aries. You know, they rise up. When there's a challenge, when somebody says, you can't do this, I mean, how often is it that you can't have it, you can't do it? Okay, I'm going to show you, I'm going to get it. That's oftentimes in some people what challenges them or what gets them going. Other people, it's like the minute you start competing with them, they go, okay, you can have it, I'm gone, I'm out of here. It doesn't work the same way, depending on what sign the Mars is in. But so how we handle success, what we think it looks like, how we handle defeat. Do we come right back? Do we come kind of blazing back? Or do we sulk for a while? How do we handle when something doesn't go our way? Mars is physical energy, stamina, perseverance, strength, ability to recover. It's about sexuality and being an athlete or athleticism in our own lives. But I want to come back to that ability to recover and the idea of energy in general, because Gemini is that twin sign. It goes back and forth. So one of the things that we might find during, you know, these 6 weeks is that our energy goes up and down and up and down because those twins, you know, one twin is really, really busy and the next thing we're taking a nap. So it could be that that happens, and maybe you're going to need to pace yourself more consciously than usual. Make, you know, don't wear yourself out. Don't push yourself to the limit with Mars in Gemini so that then, you know, you're kind of either on or off. Or maybe that's just the way it's going to be. But just recognize that that happens. But back to the ability to recover. A lot of times if I'm looking at somebody's chart, and I'm not a medical astrologer, and I do not diagnose. But if somebody's looking at something and they're trying to recover from a chronic illness or an acute flare-up of something, oftentimes I'll not only look at their health house, but I look at their Mars. Because Mars is physical. It's that ability to come back, that ability to kind of wrestle up that energy within our physical bodies, the physical matter. And so looking at the Mars, looking, how is it positioned in the chart? Where is it positioned in the chart? What is likely to motivate this person to recover? And or what are the other planets that are sitting next to Mars or opposing Mars or squaring Mars? Because those other planets working in tandem with Mars will often help me see what's the likelihood of recovery, or how will the recovery go? Will it be very, very slow and sequential and step by step, or is it likely to just come all of a sudden? All of those kinds of things, physical energy. But Mars, next to the Sun, I think is one of the planets most closely associated with identity also. If you think about that combination, the Sun is how we see ourselves. Well, here's Mars. It's the planet that says, this is my identity. This is my individuality. This is how I can make myself independent, self-sufficient. It's about courage and confidence. Impulsivity. There again, think Aries. Where are we willing to take risks? But think about it. In fact, I think it's an interesting study. If you even just look at your chart and say, what's the combination energy of my Sun and my Mars? How does that look? You know, because in a lot of people's charts are going to be very, very different. And so then you're going to say, well, you know, I definitely feel like this Cancer energy, but I also feel very Aryan with my Mars in Aries. You know, I feel that. I can really, you know, get up and go, and people go, where'd that energy come from? Or maybe you're a Scorpio and then you've got a really fiery Mars. I mean, there's all those different combinations. But recognize that the Sun is identity, and certainly the Ascendant is the way that we show our personality or what we want people to see. But Mars working in tandem with the Sun really is another, it's kind of a second way that we really project our personality and how we see that personality. So now, once we combine that Mars energy with Gemini, ruled by Mercury, the archetypes are things like storytellers and translators and journalists, teachers and students and public speakers. Often, not always, remember, none of these things are always happens this way, but a lot of times a person with Mars in Gemini has a very strong voice. Barbara Streisand, you know, Meryl Streep, Martin Luther King Jr. had Mars. In fact, his Mars was retrograde in Gemini, and it was opposing Saturn in Sagittarius. So here again, this is, you know, one of the things about astrology that I find so fun. Just pulling the cords, checking the connections, imagining how it works in a person's personality. And in the case of Martin Luther King Jr., definitely would have been considered an orator, a public speaker, a person who shared information. But also, when I think of those signs, Gemini and Saturn, remember Gemini, and we haven't gone into this too much, but we will. Gemini wants lots and lots and lots of information, new experiences. Show me, you know, I don't want the old. I don't want to just go along with the old ideas, philosophies, ideologies. So here's Mars in Gemini opposing Saturn. Saturn is authority in Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius is a very, you know, it's the seeker of truth. And so when we think of Sagittarius, it is the student and the teacher. But so much more than Gemini, Sagittarius can get, in a sense, kind of stuck. If you're familiar with the term intellectual hubris, it means when you get too big for your britches. You know, you think you're smarter than everybody else. You found the truth and nobody else has. That can be Sagittarius on the shadow side. And so here he has this Mars in Gemini trying to push against the establishment of old beliefs, cultural norms for how society should be. I think that's his Saturn in Sagittarius with Mars pushing against it. And of course, here again, on any of these aspects, we could do hours of conversation on it. But just briefly, I think that's one of the ways it manifested. You know, he wanted to share information and push against sedate Saturn and Sagittarius old ideas that are stuck. The world is not flat. You know, it was until we found out it wasn't. That, to me, is Mars and Gemini pushing against Saturn and Sagittarius. And, of course, Martin Luther King just had so many quotes because he was quite the speaker. He wrote books and, you know, you could just fill volumes with just the famous quotes alone from his speeches. And we recognize many of them, you know, I had a dream speech, etc. But here's a quote that I think applies here. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And I like that because, of course, he's talking about words, but he's also saying how important it is to speak up, how important it is to use your voice, use your thoughts, use your words, use your communication. That's what that quote says to me. So moving on, what in Mars, you know, when we've got Mars and Gemini, what gets our juices flowing? Mental activity, ideas, talking, writing, sharing ideas, connecting, networking, going to parties, social situations, new information. We want to taste and test it all. We want stimulation. We want new experiences. And here's another thing I'm going to say, and don't take it like it never happens, but Gemini usually prefers to know lots of information, lots of stuff, wants many experiences, a lot of exposure. They want a broad understanding rather than having a deep knowledge of one particular thing. Now, there again, I'm not going to say you don't have that. I mean, I can see Mars and Gemini, somebody just going to town on dissecting a book or dissecting an idea. So I'm not saying it never happens. But Gemini in general, they go, give it to me quick, give it to me so I can move on and get the next thing. They want a broad understanding of many, many, many things instead of having an expertise in only one or two things because they have a very deep knowledge of it. But that doesn't mean that because somebody's a jack of all trades, which is another way of looking at Gemini, doesn't mean they're not really good at something. So once again, I don't want you to get really stuck there, but I want you to recognize that this is the time when we go, hey, I want to take that class. Then you go to the class and you realize, hey, this isn't for me. Okay, then move on, do something else. Taste something else, test out something else. You don't have to be that person who says, nope, got to take six classes. You know, I mean, and that there again depends on your chart. But recognize sometimes knowing just a little bit of something is enough to pique your interest. And maybe that's all you need. Maybe that's all you want. You know, maybe that's it. But also recognize the shadow side of being on the surface. Oftentimes we talk about superficiality, and truthfully, I don't think that's a negative word. It depends on the context. Often there's a good reason to stay on the surface. There's a good reason to know a whole lot about a lot of different things instead of going deep. So being superficial doesn't have to have a negative connotation. Remember that. All right, so we want to learn stuff, right? We want this excitement. And we get bored easily. You know, those two twins, they have different things going on for them. And I think one of the things that really motivates Mars in Gemini is the fear of missing out. That used to be a term that, you know, FOMO, people used to use it a lot. But just that idea that we're so afraid we're going to miss something that we need to go on to something else. And so, yeah, sometimes that is what we're responding to. Certainly we're curious and we're looking for those new experiences, but sometimes we're just afraid of missing out. And there is a big part of me that says, you know what? You're never going to miss your destiny. Just not going to happen. And if we could put that kind of fear behind us, that if we don't do something a certain way, if we don't, you know, we missed that connection, whatever. I know I do it myself. I mean, truly, I do. But I have got oodles, and I mean oodles, whatever that is, I don't know how many, of examples of how being in the wrong place at the right time was exactly where I needed to be. You know, you don't always know how something is going to work out. And so trust the process. You're not going to miss out. So if you find yourself running from one thing to the next, or, you know, just being frantic, which can happen with Mars and Gemini, you know, back off a little bit and think about that. You're not going to miss your destiny. You know, you're going to be where you need to be. You're going to have what you need to have. I mean, just be careful with that and see if you can't adopt that attitude of, I'm always in the perfect place at the perfect time, even when I don't know why. I have no idea why I'm here or what's happening to me in this moment. Just trust the process. Really try to do that. And notice, too, that it, just accept where we are. This is a time when, you know, people are going to be maybe more talkative. Maybe we're going to feel more alert, you know, wake up earlier or go to bed later. We're social. We're restless. That's the other thing. Know that we could be restless. So if once again, you're the person who feels like you get really restless or agitated or whatever, plan ahead. Know that that could happen. Our energies might feel more distracted or scattered. There's a lot to do out there. But once again, don't worry about the fear of missing out. But know that, you know, your to-do list, all of a sudden you might find that it's just growing, growing, growing. You can think of all these things you need to do. And our schedules seem to fill up overnight, whether they're social or work or whatever. It's like this and this and this and this. And already, I'll tell you, I was feeling that the other day. I kind of blocked out some time and thought, okay, I'm not going to schedule this time. Well, sure enough, then it's like phone calls, texts, you know, requests, all this stuff going on. And I just kind of had to laugh because I created a vacuum. And there again, it got filled. But that also felt to me like a preview of Mars moving into Gemini. So I want to finish up this with a couple of examples. People with Mars in Gemini include lots and lots of writers, which of course, you know, and public speakers. And one that I would point out is Neil Donald Walsh, simply because you know what his book is called? Or I think he had a series of books, Conversations with God. So it's funny that, he had Mars or has Mars in Gemini. A lot of actors and singers and songwriters, including Meryl Streep. And here again, one of her quotes, I think I used this in the Power Peak this week, that I really, really like and identify with, because I think there's a big spiritual component here too. She said, acting is not about being someone different. It's finding the similarity in what is apparently different than finding myself in there. And I love that because the spiritual component to me is really understanding that when it really comes down to it, we all want the same things, right? You know, I mean, it's basically about feeling loved, being able to love and to love and to be loved by others, feeling safe, feeling happy. At our core, everybody wants the same thing, even though they tend to go after it in different ways. But just saying that, the way she acts or the way she's able to become that other person is by finding what looks on the surface as something different, but finding it within herself. And I thought that's a powerful and very profound message. You know, I really do think so. Okay, now I'm going to go off on a little tangent, hopefully not for too long, but it's about Barbara Streisand because she also has her Mars in Gemini. And I thought, oh, you know, she's such a good example. I mean, this is what's going on in my head because, you know, she's multifaceted singer, actor, songwriter, producer, director. You know, she does all these different things, but they all have to do with entertainment or they all have to do with communication. They all have to do with words, you know, putting messages out there. I also knew that she was one of the first performers ever to have received an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. I don't remember now how many people are in that category, but it's important. I mean, you know, it's a, they call it EGOTs. It's a big deal, and she was one of the first that had that. But in any case, I thought, hey, I'm going to look up, and I'm going to see when she got those Emmys or whatever. I'm doing a little research on her and looking at her chart, and I ran across something that I have never heard of. So here again, guys, you know. I have my own little circumspect world. Some of you out there are probably going, oh, we've always known about this. It's called the Streisand effect. And that just popped up automatically on Google. And I'm like, what? What the heck is the Streisand effect? And it turns out it's a well-known concept, very popular in social media. But it would be, it's a psychological reaction, actually. And what it really means is that when you try to hide something or you want to get rid of something, sweep it under the carpet or whatever, by doing that, you're actually exposing it. You're actually making it much, much bigger than it is. And apparently what happened is Barbara Streisand sued a photographer in 2003. For posting a photo of her home on his website. Now, I don't know exactly what he was about, but he had all these pictures of coastal erosion. That's why he put the photo up there. But she sued him. And because she sued him, his website, which had very, very few followers, apparently, after everything was said and done, millions of people went to the website because they wanted to see the picture. And when I heard that, I mean, I'm thinking it's very funny on two levels, I think. Number one, apparently it has been around since 2003 in terms of people saying the Streisand effect, but and I've never heard of it. So you know what? There's always something new to learn in the world. But the other thing is, to me, it does very much seem like Mars in Gemini, because it's this, like, all you have to do is add a few words, bring it to the public in some way, and all of a sudden it just blows up. It duplicates, you know, multiplicity. It just becomes so much bigger than it ever was. And so now apparently that's what they say. Sometimes some little thing going on that somebody's upset about or whatever, but you want to make sure nobody finds out. Well, the minute you share that information, it can just go totally viral, especially in our world with all the social media. So, you know, and if you don't know about it, you might want to look it up and just think about it, because I think it is Mars in Gemini. And what's kind of funny, there were other things going on. So, I mean, I just had to look at her chart and see what else was going on. And so I'll tell you, she did have, or she does have, her Venus in Pisces. Now, that makes sense to me because that's so creative, and the kind of work that she does, just really able to pull the heartstrings of many, many millions of people across the world, right? But what was important is her Mars was conjunct, is conjunct, I should keep saying is conjunct Jupiter, you know, bigger than life. And it's a loose conjunction. I mean, it's actually a little out of range because it goes from 19 degrees to 28. And in astrology, we'd like to see that be closer to 7 degrees apart. But on the other hand, like I said, immediately I open that chart and I go, oh my gosh, she has Mars conjunct Jupiter. So there again, you do something communication-wise and it spreads across the world. You know, this is a person who does have to be careful, because whatever you say, it could spread across the world. But the other thing, when I looked at, and I didn't go far enough to find out when was the lawsuit, when was it settled, blah, blah, blah. But I know it was in 2003. So when I looked, Jupiter was transiting through Leo in 2003 in her fifth house. Well, the fifth house is about self-expression. And it was there through the end of August. But Mars during this time, so here we have Jupiter sitting in Leo in her fifth house. But during 2003, we had Mars transiting through Aquarius, where it was in opposition of Jupiter in Leo. So once again, that automatically makes me think the very thing that you wanted, this blowing up and getting really big, all these people seeing this picture of your house, is it got totally blown up because Mars was opposing Jupiter. It didn't happen like you thought. I mean, and here again, I don't know enough about her motivation or anybody else's motivation or why she wanted the picture down. I don't know if it was just simply, you know, I think she is a private person in many, many ways, and she just didn't want her house on the website. But I don't know that. So don't take that for absolute truth, because like I said, I just found out about this myself when I was doing a little astrology homework. But that Mars opposing Jupiter, and Jupiter in Leo, you know, I'm the performer, I'm on stage. But maybe what she thought was going to be this nice, quiet little lawsuit, just take the picture down, totally blew up as Mars was opposing Jupiter. Then Mars entered Pisces in 2003, and it was in her 12th house, letting go, you know, pushing, you know, letting go of things, releasing things, preparing for a new birth, right? Well, it entered Pisces on June 19th, but then Mars went retrograde that year. So it stayed in Pisces and it stayed in her 12th house for a very long time. It also, by the way, was conjunct Uranus in Pisces on June 24th. No, and you know, I'm trying to remember. It was her natal Uranus. But and I hope I got that right. But the point is, Uranus got involved in this situation, and Mars itself, transiting Mars, opposed transiting Jupiter in Virgo again because of that retrograde several times in September and again in November. And so that retrograding Mars that year actually then made it. So it was really connecting with Jupiter at least three times and transiting Jupiter, not her personal one, but transiting Jupiter. So she not only in her own chart had Mars conjunct Jupiter, but then at the time that this happened, that now it became this whole thing that's actually named as the Streisand effect, she had transiting Mars opposing transiting Jupiter. And Mars didn't leave her 12th house until December of 2003. So there again, I'd love to get the actual dates because that might tell us a little bit more. But it was something that I find very fascinating, just the way that worked out. And of course, hindsight is everything, right? It's easy to pick apart these details and these pieces and look at them because they've already happened. You know, that's why I always think that's what astrology is good for. It's not that you can't predict at all, but there's just so many ways something could happen. And for all I know, maybe she wanted everybody to see her picture. Maybe that's why she did the lawsuit. She said, huh, this is a good way to bring some attention to my home. But since that time, apparently, it's like, especially in the legal community, too, people know exactly what you're talking, or I'm not going to say all people, but they know what you're talking about if you're talking about the Streisand effect. You're trying to hide something. You're trying to, you know, negate something. You're trying to push it, you know, push it so nobody sees it. Well, then everybody in the world sees it. So just think about that with Mars and Jupiter, all right? And I think about it because guess what's happening? You know, Jupiter is in Gemini. Mars is going to come and be conjunct with Jupiter in the not too distant future. It's like August, I'm trying to think, I thought I had the date. But anyway, oh, Mars is conjunct Jupiter in Gemini on August 13th of this year. So there again, you want your own personal Streisand effect, something you want the whole world to know? Well, maybe you do it just the opposite. You try to cover it up. You try to hide it, and maybe the whole world will know. Or if it's something you're really trying to hide, then I'd say be very careful around the time that Mars is conjunct Jupiter in Gemini. But here again, Mars conjunct Jupiter is a wonderful, wonderful energy. It truly is. Like you're writing a book, you want to get the word out about something, you want to motivate your communications, Mars is your guy. He's going to do it. But it's just funny to think about that whole, to me, it's very interesting to look at that whole situation with Barbara Streisand and that blowing up even to the point of having it named, you know, of what it is. But the other thing, you know, kind of in a nutshell, Mars in Gemini, have fun, learn new stuff. But also, keep your feet on the ground. I think it's really easy to just kind of have your head in the astral clouds when Mars is in an air sign. And it's interesting to me, too, because Neptune, remember Neptune, we've been talking about that. It's sitting at the very, very, very end of Pisces, 28, 29 degrees. So all these planets that have been leaving Taurus recently, they all have a connection with Neptune through a sextile before they move on. And Mars is no exception. And so what is Neptune telling them? Like if they're all sitting down and having this little head-to-head talk or, you know, heart-to-heart talk with Neptune, what is Neptune saying? And I think one of the things Neptune is saying is, remember what's important. Don't get distracted by the glittering and the superficial. And when you get confused, come home. You know, settle down. Know who you are. And that's why actually that full moon in Capricorn may be really helpful, you know, as it carries us through the next couple of weeks. You know, remember what's really important. Enjoy yourself. You know, go entertain your mind. You know, put on the headset. Be in some other reality. But when you need to, keep your feet on the ground. Know what's going on. This is playtime. This is a time to experience some things. So we have a few minutes to talk about the full moon in Capricorn. Here again, this is the second full moon in a row that's been in Capricorn because the first one was at like 0 or 1 Capricorn a month ago, right? When that happens is when we get the opportunity to have a full moon, and sometimes it's a new moon, but a full moon in the same sign, 2 in a row. So in this case, and here again, there's that number, 29. At the very end of Capricorn. That's going to be on Sunday, July 21st. And it's going to be very early in the morning, like 3:17 a.m. and that specific time. But remember, that also means that we're going to have this great full moon a night or two before that and a night or two after it. Well, in Capricorn, this is where we kind of circle back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's about self-worth. You know, it's about really taking, you know, satisfaction in what you're successful at, what you're good at, understanding the value of work and productivity and purpose and responsibility and self-worth and discipline, and knowing what your definition of success is, and also just good old-fashioned self-confidence. And this, I'm biased this way, but sometimes when I meet a person, and oftentimes it's a teenager or a 20-something, but it, you know, it could be somebody at any age, and they just feel kind of aimless, or they feel like their life is pointless, and they're just not sure where they're going. Well, to me, that always speaks back. It goes back to Saturn and its sign Capricorn. Because when we know our purpose, feel like we have a purpose, then everything else seems to kind of gather around that. It's almost like a magnet where, once again, when we know what we're good at, you know, when we know we can step into a situation like this, seems kind of an odd one, but, you know, I worked in healthcare for a long time, and I very much consider myself an administrator, not a hands-on person. But there are situations, both when I was working in hospitals and healthcare settings or in my personal life, where there's an emergency. And I'm that go-getter. I am the person who can step in and take care of a situation until somebody better qualified comes in. And then, boy, I'm out of there. It's like, nope, I don't want to bandage the wound. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. And it's really funny because I know that's my limitation. When there is nobody else around, I can do it. I'm your person. You know, and there have been several times when there was like a medical emergency and I just stepped right in. But the minute a doctor or a nurse or somebody trained, an ambulance driver, whatever, is there, I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. Because I know that ultimately that's not my expertise. And, you know, it's just that kind of funny thing about me. I'm going to assess very quickly. If nobody else is taking charge, man, I'm going to step in and I'm going to take charge, and I'm at least going to pretend that I know what I'm doing. But the minute, because, you know, and maybe it's because I feel like I have the ability to make other people feel safe. I mean, and I know that about myself. I've just seen it happen. In fact, people have even told me, somebody once told me when they woke up from anesthesia, he said, when I see your face, I know everything's okay. And I thought, how interesting, because I don't even know what my face says. And it was a pretty dire situation. And I thought, well, that's good. He feels reinforced by what he sees. But that meant something to me. But there again, I'm not the doctor. I'm not the one who's going to fix him or make everything okay. But I know that I can be the person there going, I'm holding your hand. We're going to go through this together. And yes, I'm here for you. I am your strength. We are combining forces. So there again, I want you this week to just think about those things that you're really good at. Or those things that you know, this is my skill. This is my little asset. This is my gem that I carry in my pocket. Because that full moon in Capricorn is a reminder of that. To just know, what is that about you? Where do you get your self-worth? And you know, it's too late in the game for most of us to just always go, oh no, not me, not me, not me. Now, no, we're not going to do everything in life, but we know, you know, it shouldn't take too much digging to know those little things that we are really good at. Is it the way you smile at strangers? Is it your ability to approach a stranger? Is it your ability to come up with something to say in any situation? Is it your ability to see a pile of dishes and go wash them? I mean, you know, sometimes I'm just amazed at people who, they always seem to know what to do. And I go, how did you know that? And they go, I don't know. I just saw it. Well, see, that's one of their skills. And I think apparently it's not mine. But in any case, you know, that when we have that full moon, when you see that brightness, when you see that light, soak up that light and just say, who am I? I'm the stuff of the universe, and I am going to remember and appreciate what I'm good at, what I'm here for, what's my purpose, and focus on my self-worth. the development of character and self-knowledge. So it's not about being better than anybody else. It's not about touting yourself. It's about that quiet sense of satisfaction, that quiet sense of peace within yourself. This is me. This is why I came here. This is what I do. So I think that's one of the gifts of the Capricorn full moon that we're going to have this weekend. All right. And so to finish up, I did want to read a couple of quotes. I'm just going to say, you know, one from John Bon Jovi, who does have a moon in Capricorn. And he said, "Nothing is as important as passion. No matter what you do, do it with your life. Be passionate." All right. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up because I'm going to go join Kelly on Empowerment today on her show. And so we need a few minutes to reset everything. But I just want to say to everybody, thank you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some information. And to, because that's one of the things I love to do. I so wish that, you know, the Facebook was a little more interactive, but, you know, a lot of that's my fault. I can see what you say, but if I interact, then Facebook kicks me off. There's a message there, isn't there? Maybe Mars and Gemini will figure that out. There's definitely a message. But in any case, I love it. Sometimes I just picture that we're all in a room together. We're all, you know, sitting and discussing all of this together. So thank you for being here today. Thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel, back from his vacation. Love it. Thank you, Jay, for being here. And everybody hang on because I'm going to join Kelly just in a few minutes. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this week, the next 6 weeks, we're listening to Mars in Gemini.